Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shriram Properties Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali Mallayappan, Chairman and Managing Director, Shriram Properties Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted to be here with you after yet another strong quarter, sustaining the growth momentum since our listing. We have achieved sales volume of 1.01 million sq ft, which is up by 52% quarter-on-quarter, while our revenues, EBITDA, have seen a significant jump both on quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year basis. Our profit for the quarter stands at 19.6 crores, while H1 profit is at 30.1 crores, against a full year profit of 18 crores in FY22. We are focused on timely launch of 8+ new projects in H2 to support our volume growth. During the quarter, we have handed over more than 700 completed during the first half and likely to hand over nearly 2,000 units in FY23, which is well on track to deliver 10 million sq ft during FY23 to FY25. I would like to reiterate that there is a strong visibility of our earnings over the next 3 years, with 75% of project revenues coming from volumes already sold till September 2022. And similarly, nearly 60% of GM revenue should come from projects launched till date. The reliability on these earnings is being enhanced by reaching the delivery targets we have set for ourselves. I would like to thank all our shareholders for placing their trust in us, and we are completely focused to create value for all the stakeholders. With this, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Gopal, to briefly discuss the performance and happy to answer any questions you might have thereafter. Over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Gopal, ED and Group CFO, Shriram Properties. I'm joined by my colleagues in this room, so we'll collectively try to answer all the questions that you may have at the end of this presentation. I'd like to start the presentation and assume that all of you have the copies of the presentation which was posted on company's website as well as the website of stock exchanges. So I'll be referring to those pages in the presentation on the website. Starting with a brief overview of the industry, the markets have been very strong during the quarter as well as during the entire first 6 months of this current financial year. The trend has been reasonably positive and encouraging for all the top 7 markets, housing residential markets in India. Supply growth has also been robust, but has been actually matching the pace of demand, and therefore overall inventory trends have been declining. Inventory has been on a declining trend for the last few quarters, and the trend continued even in Q2. We have seen the inventories across top 7 cities at around 21 months now, and the trend in southern markets are more encouraging. Pricing trend has been very encouraging as well. Prices have started moving up, as you are aware, since September last year, and the trend continued from March, April this year as well. So at the company level, we have had a more encouraging trend, and I'll explain that in subsequent slides. Overall, we see the markets remaining robust, notwithstanding all the apprehensions that the people had about the rate hike impact on residential demand and other things. We understand from the industry players that the housing loan demand appears reasonably strong, notwithstanding the rate hike impact in the last couple of months, which clearly shows the customer buying trend is continuing to remain robust in the marketplace. Input cost was a concern in some of your minds a few quarters ago. I think those pressures have receded now back to normal industry trends, and the spike was short-lived during end of Q4 22 and early part of Q1 FY23. Since then, things have been on a declining trend. The long-term trends remain positive, remain intact, especially for mid-market affordable products. We see a continued strong demand and robust outlook continuing for at least the next couple of years. With this backdrop, let me move to slide number 6, which summarizes the key highlights in the development for the quarter and the first half. Operationally, it has been one of the best periods that we have gone through. It's the best ever sales volume and sales value for Shriram Properties in H1 FY23. And we are back at 1 million plus run rate, supported by launches as well as the seasonal trends. As you are aware, we have consistently mentioned this, that the H2 is historically very stronger period for us, and we see continued strength during the H2 FY23 as well. We have had 3 successful launches during the first half, 2 in Chennai and 1 in Bangalore. And we've had each of the launches have delivered good outcome. We've had sales at launch, a metric that we have consistently followed, at 34%. I'll explain each of them in the subsequent slides. DM share remains robust at 30% of first half sales. From an execution perspective, some of you had consistently queried about the execution and handovers. We have handed over about 700 units so far in the current financial year. Apart from these constructed units, we also handed over 300 plus plots to customers. We are on track to hand over 2,000 units in FY23. That should support a very strong income recognition during second half as well. To support this, we have actually got OC, the completion certificate or occupancy certificate. Each state will call it differently. We have got the necessary permissions or approvals to complete and hand over to customers, and therefore registrations have begun in a project called Southern Crest in Bangalore. Also in Grand One, where we got the approvals in first quarter, the registrations are continuing. We have moved a couple of projects to a completed portfolio, which is Park 63 first phase as well as Summit in Bangalore. Both these projects now no longer part of our project pipeline as they move to completed. All our ongoing projects appear on track, well within RERA timelines, and that's an encouraging progress for us. From a financial performance perspective, it's been a very strong quarter, both quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year. You'll see that in subsequent slides. But fundamentally, revenues are up about 112% quarter-on-quarter, 240% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA is up 44% quarter-on-quarter and 138% year-on-year basis. Half-year results are even more encouraging, with overall revenues from operations of about 380 crores or 3.8 billion rupees and total revenues of 4.2 billion rupees or 420 crores. Our revenue, total revenues have nearly tripled year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA is higher by about 2.6 times at 86.8 crores on a year-on-year basis. Our net earnings are around 30 crores PAT. That is almost 1.7 times that our full year profit that we did in FY22. Supported by income recognition in 2 projects, we have been able to reach this point. The rest of the operations are under satisfactory progress is there. Operation costs are under control, supporting margins and profitability. Debt reduction and cost reduction efforts are continuing and making meaningful impact on our P&L, as you would see inside. From a business development and pipeline perspective, we've had a satisfactory progress. We added 2 projects with about 1.2 million square feet this quarter. And pipeline now has about 54 projects with a 54 million square feet of development potential. It includes 24 million square feet across 26 projects in the ongoing project category. Out of the 24 million ongoing, 23 million belongs to Shriram and the 1 million belongs to the landowner share. Out of the 23 million square feet, we have already sold, as of September 30th, we have sold 21 million square feet. That means almost 90% of our ongoing projects have been sold. And we have 0 inventory in our completed portfolio. So we seem to be running well on the right track in terms of sales and sales as well as execution. As you are aware, or may have noticed from the press release made earlier this month, we have signed an MOU for a platform arrangement with ASK Investment Partners for a 500 crore investment platform for investment in residential real estate projects in Bangalore, Chennai and Hyderabad. And this platform has taken off with the first project of a plotted development project in North Bangalore, already conceived and definitive agreement signed between the partners for the first project under this platform already. Our logos deal is progressing well at Calcutta, and also as the last point is about the Xander DM development management project that we had in Chennai is now fully completed, and we expect to see cash inflows of about 130 crores as a DM fee, of which 10 crore is received and the remaining should come through during second half of this year. Overall, therefore, in a nutshell, a very encouraging performance for the first 6 months as well as Q2, and current operations give us a confidence that we are on the right track to deliver full year expectations that we have for and the guidance that we have given. Now looking closer on slide 7, looking just closer on the Q2 and before I move to H1. In terms of Q2, our sales volumes are about 1.01 million square feet, up 52% year on year. Sales value is about 4.3 billion or 434 crores, up about 39% year on year. Our collections and constructions have been almost stable compared to the Q1 levels. Collections have been running at a good run rate of about 100 to 110 crores per month. We expect to see it moving up to about 110 to 120 crore band in second half. And construction got spending got delayed a little bit because of unseasonal rains and excessive monsoon in some of our core project areas. We expect that to regain momentum with the monsoon nearly coming to an end in the southern part of the country. So overall, it has been a good quarter on a quarter-on-quarter basis, as well as on a year-on-year basis, if you would see that in subsequent parts. In slide 8, first half trends, 7% year-on-year growth in pre-sales volume, 27% growth in sales value, 13% year growth in collections, construction nearly flat, as I said earlier. Moving to slide 9, the launches. We had a very good response to all the three launches that we did. This is slightly lower than what we had traditionally done. Three launches during first half. Two launches got delayed by a couple of weeks for approval and RERA requirements. Have been moved to H2, Q3 and Q4 has a very strong pipeline lined up with the necessary approvals are also visible. And for the project that we launched during H1, Park 63 is a new phase of an existing project. Golden Acres and Eden 144, both are plotted development projects. The first one is in Chennai and Eden 144 is in Bangalore. Eden was launched in September it sold about 74% in September itself. By now, we have almost 100% sold this small plotted development DM project. So overall, it has been an encouraging sales trend. Sales at launch has been about 34% average for the first half. We think that ratio can be sustained in the coming quarters as well. Moving to slide 10 on the pricing trends. As you are aware, September last year is when we started focusing on ramping up price supported by robust demand, underlying demand. And therefore, may remember or recall, second half last year, we did about 8% average portfolio level price hike, ranging from 3% to 16% price hike in H2 FY22. On top of that, we have seen good increase in pricing across projects. Just try to compare same projects for an apples to apples comparison perspective. Try to compare the same projects. We've had a meaningful improvement from September 21 as well as March 22 in terms of current realization as of end of September. The portfolio level, it reflects 5% growth. And I think this strong sequential growth primarily reflects the underlying market strength, our consistent effort to push the products, move up the price curve, and obviously the project mix as well. But the underlying trend is very evident from the chart on the bottom, where across product segments, the prices have moved up. It would be misleading if you simply divide by our sales value by sales volume, because we have a very large share of plotted development and a combination of mid-market and affordable products. and therefore this chart aims to highlight how each of the product segments have behaved in terms of prices. We are encouraged by the fact that we have now reached a 6,000 rupees average price benchmark in mid-market product. We have been trying to move up to that, move above that 4,500 rupees square feet that we had about 3-4 years ago. So the consistent effort is paying off, and market is able to absorb, and we are able to push through the price hike without impacting volumes. With that operational part, let me move to financial part, slide 12. It has been a strong earnings growth story. Fourth consecutive quarter of improvement since listing. We turned around, we showed initial signs of turnaround in December 21 results. Since then, the earnings have gained good momentum, and which is encouraging and consistent with what we have been expecting or indicating to all of you as a capital market participants. Impressive financial growth as well, both on a QOQ basis as well as year-on-year basis. Impact of operating leverage is evident, as well as project execution strength is evident. DM continues to remain a robust player or a key contributor to our overall financial outlook, financial performance. Our revenue recognition from key projects commenced in H1-23 should help deliver stronger revenues and earnings in the coming quarters as well. Our operational business momentum and the lead indicators give us the confidence that we will deliver stronger earnings and profitability in H2 as well. We are on track to therefore delivering full year performance as indicated to all of you in the past. Just moving a little bit on the financials, page number 13 and 14. As I said earlier, H1 FY23 year-on-year growth has been very impressive. Revenues have more than tripled. EBITDA is more than 2.6 times. PAT is almost 1.7 times FY22 earnings. Quarterly performance is equally impressive on a QOQ basis, sequentially from Q1 to Q2, as well as Q2 this year to Q2 last year on a year-on-year basis. Our revenues from, quarterly revenues from operation more than tripled on a year-on-year basis, 2.6 billion versus 760 million in Q2 last year. Driven mostly by increased handover momentum in Kolkata Grand One project, as well as our closeout happening in Vizag project, where we are almost nearly done with most of the construction activities, and handover is also nearing last phase of handovers at Panorama Hills in Vizag, as well as closure of our existing project in Bangalore called Summit. More importantly, this quarter got a big trigger from Southern Crest, which is a project which got whose OC got delayed by almost a few months, as we mentioned last quarter, where we suffered on some revenue expectations we had in Q1. That OC came through in September after a little bit of delay, and this is purely because of the local regulatory or the local authority approvals. Though we got the approval in September, we managed to complete registration of 130 units out of 440 units there. 1.8 lakh square feet got income recognized. We handed over more than half of these units to customers already, and the rest of the customers are taking over their projects, though they completed sale deed already. Southern Crest alone accounted for about 14-15% of revenue recognized in H1 and 40% of revenues in Q2. Total revenues are up. This is a revenue from operation. Total revenues have gone up by about 90% quarter on quarter to 2.76 billion rupees. Reflects a growth of 193% year-on-year. DM remains a key player in terms of overall growth, and DM contributed meaningfully during this quarter. Overall, cost of revenue and expenses have moved up. Cost of revenue is up about 159% quarter-on-quarter. Primarily reflects the increased area of revenue recognized, and also the change in product mix that obviously has an impact on the cost, along with the revenue as well that we got recognized. Rest of the operating costs are under control. Employee cost is higher by 8% quarter on quarter. Primarily reflects the increments that were announced, annual increments announced to entire staff base during June and July, where we paid obviously from April, and therefore the arrears component from first quarter also got paid in Q2. And therefore it looks like a 8% growth quarter on quarter, but on a run rate basis, It's up only marginally by about 3 to 4%. Other expenses are down about 5% quarter on quarter, and the trend is somewhat meaningful even if you look at it on a half yearly basis. EBITDA has more than doubled to 51.3 crores or 513 million rupees, reflects a growth of about 44% QOQ and much stronger growth on a YOY basis at 162% year on year. Overall, finance cost is up 4% quarter on quarter, but more importantly, it is down 21% year on year, 17% on a year on year basis. My apologies. As you know, our finance cost has three components: actual interest outflow, the other finance cost, which is primarily a refinancing related cost, as well as a non-cash charge of about 5 crore per quarter we incur on an unwinding effect of our West Bengal liability that we have in our balance sheet, which is on a discounted basis in our balance sheet as a liability. So we unwind that impact every quarter, and that's about 5 crores. So I'm focusing on interest expense, as you could see in slide 13. 28% drop in interest expense to 37.9 crores from 52 crores last year. All of the non-cash charge is flat. The other finance cost primarily reflects refinancing related charges that we have to take. While we pay for refinancing costs or the upfront processing fee and amortize over a period of time, so therefore the new loan processing fee would be amortized. The unabsorbed amortized fee, unamortized fees from the previous loan would have got charged off, and that's one of the reasons why you have a higher other finance cost during H1 at 4 crores. Other than that, there are no other exceptional or unusual costs. Share of JV income is negative on a quarterly basis, but remains positive on a H1 basis. As you know, we recognize income from our joint venture project called Shriram Park 63, a joint venture between Shriram Properties as a 30% share owner and Mitsubishi Corporation of Japan as a 70% share owner. That project got into income recognition last quarter. This quarter, the momentum slowed down because the initial thrust is over. Post-festive season, it gained momentum again. But despite the positive contribution from Park 63 to our JV share of JV profits, the continuing expenses, these were offset by the continuing expenses and the relaunch or renewed marketing effort costs related to two other joint ventures in Bangalore. One is called 107 Southeast in Anekal in Bangalore, and Shriram Whitefield in Budigere Cross in Bangalore. Both these projects had a renewed marketing effort and advertising and sales promotion efforts. Those costs obviously offset the impact of Park 63 revenue recognition. Therefore, quarterly income was marginally negative. Taking all this into account, if I look at a net profit number, this quarter we ended with about 19.6 crores compared to 10 crore in Q1. Reflects a growth of about 87% quarter on quarter. And for the half year, our profits are at 30.1 crores compared to a negative profit we had, negative earnings we had in H1 FY22. However, it's important to note that current year first half profits are compared very interestingly against FY22 at 18 crores. So it's almost like 1.7 times full year profits in first half, consistent with our expectations and guidance that we have given in the past. Very briefly on cash flows and balance sheet. Balance sheet remains strong. Debt levels remain under control. I'll talk about the debt in a minute. What is interesting is to see the overall ROC trends. We have been very consciously and continuously focusing on the not just the margins as well as returns as well. For the full year, if you recall, we had 11% ROC. For the first half, not annualized, just the first half number was about 10.3-10.4%. As you know, second half, the income recognition will be much stronger. Therefore, we expect first half, the full year ROC to be in excess of 11-12% that we had thought about it earlier, and definitely compared to last year actuals. What is more interesting is to see how ROC for the first half behaved for most of the industry players, whoever has announced results so far. And I think out of the list shown in the bottom chart, only one company has not announced results, Shobha. Other than Shobha, everybody else is based on their half-yearly earnings. Sobha is based on their FY22 earnings, and our ROC at about 10% compares meaningfully against the ROC of our listed peer group, both in the southern regional markets as well as other places. From a cash flow perspective, operating cash flows remain strong. We unlocked about 156 crore from the operations. Net of construction, marketing, and other outflows, we had close to 270 million rupees of free cash flow. Out of that, we invested about 196 million towards new projects. Over and above 238 million, we invested in Q1. And therefore, for the first half, we've invested 43 million towards securing new projects like JDA advances and others. Despite that outflow, we still had a positive cash from operations. And our financing outflows are mostly about loan repayments scheduled as well as voluntary repayments. And therefore, we had a marginal negative net cash from borrowing. And that primarily, the repayments are primarily ongoing projects where we had borrowed, and there is a sweep which happens based on our collections. And therefore, we continuously repay and reduce our construction finance debt. I'll talk about that in a minute. Net free cash flow, therefore, was about -36 we used from our cash and cash equivalent, largely due to the debt repayment and interest outflow. But fundamentally, it's been a very strong cash flow movement so far. And majority of this cash that got unlocked from projects got into construction activity as well as new project development. Looking at slide 17, our gross debt remains almost stable at 478 crores at Shriram Consol level. Net debt is about 374 crores, about from compared to 340 earlier we had. And this is marginally because of cash and cash equivalent came down, as I said a few minutes ago. More importantly, debt equity is still very, very strong and remains at  1.3:1. It remains as one of the lowest debt equity among the listed peers. Our cost of debt remained almost stable at 12.5%, including the JV loans. We actually had all our efforts over the last 12 months, 18 months has been on reducing the debt as well as refinancing them to bring down the cost simply by moving away from NBFC loan to bank loans. As you may recall from our earlier conversations, we had a very strong reliance on NBFC as part of our liability portfolio. We have now significantly moved away from it, and today banks account for nearly 40% of our loan book compared to 3% earlier. And our efforts are still continuing in terms of shifting further to banks, both from an existing project perspective, where we still have a couple of refinancing efforts ongoing, plus all the new loans are moving towards banks. Incremental debt that we have received are in the 9%-10% range, and therefore, we think we should be able to keep moving down the cost curve in the coming quarters. Looking at slide 18, a few awards that we got recognized for our projects from the industry peers. Also, we are glad to point out we've been certified as Great Place to Work by the Great Place to Work organization. If I shift gear to outlook and very briefly cover three, four points here, slide 20 fundamentally talks about where does the confidence of management come from in terms of earnings for H2 FY23. We remain very confident on our outlook for H2, and we believe we should be on track to deliver a meaningful growth in not just the volume and sales value, but also in revenue, earnings, and profitability and returns. Our visibility, our confidence comes from the fact that we internally have a much greater visibility on H2 earnings for three reasons. One, nearly five projects account for 76% of projected full-year revenues, and those projects are listed on slide 20. And in each of these projects, we have now reduced or we have completed all the external dependencies. The OCs are with us. The occupancy certificate, which is the completion certificate, is already received. Therefore, there's no external regulatory or other dependency. Now it's a question of getting the customers to sale deed registrations and then income recognized. So therefore, we're working hard towards completing handing over these units to customers so they can come forward and do registrations and take over the units that will allow us to income recognize in H2. So given that there is a great visibility, greater control on this process now internally, and therefore we are confident that we should be able to be on track in terms of our revenue recognition activities. DM revenues, where we believe we are on track for this 100 crore annual run rate. 12 ongoing projects contribute about 66% of FY23 full year DM income. Five new projects are planned for launch in H2. They will therefore add strength. These projects are already in our kitty, and they are making good progress on the approval front, and therefore we should be able to realize our expectation during second half in terms of DM sales and DM agreement to sign, the signing of the definitive documents with the customer that will allow us to income recognize from these DM projects. 30% of H1 sales is from DM, and therefore they will also add further strength to revenue recognition in second half. As you would know, plotted development has a very short cycle time. 32% of our sales is in H1 is in plotted development, and therefore these 3 lakh odd square feet and 85% of plotted development is from DM projects, and therefore they will come up for handover during second half, and therefore they will allow us to recognize income. Combination of these two gives us a strong visibility for second half. And on a longer term basis, if you look at a 3-year basis, nearly 75% of projected revenues are from volume sold till September 22. Nearly 60% of 3-year DM fee comes from project launched already. And therefore, we see a greater control and visibility on what we can recognize and what we can earn over the next 3 years. And that's the source behind our confidence on 3-year outlook. We think we are on track to realize our expected 3 billion or 300 crores of free cash flow to be realized over the next 3 years, and majority of this will come over the next 18 months time. Just putting the same fact in another way, slide 21, income recognition, as I said, we see a very strong outlook for the next 3 years. We are targeting to hand over 10,000 units to customers over the next 24 to 36 months. We have handed over about 700 units and 300 clocks during first half. We are targeting to hand over 2,000 plus units during the full year. For the remaining units will be handed over the next, during the fiscal 24 and 25. Where does it all come from? They all come from the fact that we have sold almost 10 million square feet in the last 36 months, 42 months. And those are making reasonable progress well within the RERA timelines. And therefore, they will come up for handover and therefore income recognition. And therefore, we see a clear roadmap or path for income recognition and profitability. With that, if I move little more broader and go to a longer term outlook in slide 22, our objectives are very simple. We want to continue to focus on 20% plus CAGR in sales over the next 2 to 3 years. We remain focused on unlocking potential from Kolkata, either through our own project launches for the 10 million square foot intending to be developed by ourselves, or accelerating or remaining focused on monetizing the land bank. Continue to focus on DM even while we are focusing on JVs and JDAs as well. Sustain profitability with a mid-20 operating margin, EBITDA margin, and a positive earnings to continue. We remain confident of stabilizing the business model in the mid-teen ROC over the next 2 years. And we continue to focus on exploring Hyderabad as our new market that we think we would enter in the foreseeable future. Just last but one slide before I wrap up. If I look at slide 23, this is our targeted volume that we are thinking of. 4.5 million square feet. We believe we are on track. We expect to rise to 5.5 million square feet next year and 7 million square feet in 25. To support this growth, we have enough reasonably robust pipeline. I mentioned this earlier, 54 million square feet in the pipeline, and out of which 23 million square feet is ongoing. Rest is to be launched. and these launch portfolio is making reasonable progress and they are at various stages of approvals and RERA. So they will get ready for launch over the next 12 to 18 months, and therefore we see the launch potential. Looking near term, we have eight to nine launches lined up. We believe we should be able to do 8+ launches in second half, spread across Bangalore and Chennai, and maybe one launch in Kolkata as well. Slide 25, DM projects. I think it's self-explanatory. DM is doing reasonably well. Share of DM is continuing to remain robust and should help us continue with our strategy of focusing on DM with a greater emphasis, even along with the JVs and GDAs and other models. Last slide, if I try to just quickly point out on the Kolkata, slide 26. Our strategy for unlocking potential from Kolkata is progressing well. Our own development, as we said earlier repeatedly, is 10 million square feet. Grand 1 and Grand 2 together account for 4.4 million square feet. The remaining 5 million, 6 million square feet will be launched over the next couple of years. The launched projects have made tremendous progress. Shriram Grand 1, almost 600 units delivered. Construction is full swing for other area, other clusters within Grand 1. We almost entirely sold the 2.1 million square feet from our books. Shriram Sunshine, which is the second phase of this project, or the township, 2.3 million square feet launched in three different phases. First two phases launched. We have sold 98% of phase 1, 43% of phase 2. Together 1 million is sold. Remaining the third phase is about 800,000 square feet. That will be launched in due course. We are also working towards a villa development in this site. That will be part of the upcoming 5.5 million square feet to be launched in the future. On the monetization progress, FSI sale is progressing well with logos. We believe we are on track for consummating this transaction during second half, as we consistently have maintained since beginning. With this, if I turn to slide 27, just to summarize, a very strong brand, well-governed, trusted brand, proven track record, very strong growth outlook, supported by demonstrated ramp-up and demonstrated profitability, and with scalability in our business model, we believe we will be a RERA beneficiary or a industry consolidation beneficiary. With the low leverage in the balance sheet, we think we are well poised to continue our growth and deliver value for our shareholders. With this, I stop, and all of us are back here to take your questions and respond as best as we can. Thank you, and over to the operator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Chaitanya Shah from Silverlight Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my question is regarding the cash flow statement in the annexure that you've given. This is regarding the cash net operating cash flow that the company is going to receive in the own development and the JDAs. These numbers are lower than what you had reported in the last quarter presentation. So could you just give the reasons for this?
Yeah, one of the projects got moved from ongoing to completed, and the Southern Crest, which I emphasized during the presentation. And that's the reason why there's a change. Otherwise, there's no material change. When they move, this is an ongoing portfolio, right? So Southern Crest cash flows will accrue and come, get recognized in H1 and H2. So they move out from the ongoing projects. but we'll try to highlight that in future. I think we can give you the data, how much relates to Southern Crest, and therefore it will be the same number as last time.
Okay, understood. So my second question is regarding the interest cost. For the half year, you've taken an interest expense of close to 38 crores. And gross debt figure that you've reported is close to 530 crores. So the number comes up to be around, interest expense number comes up to be around 14%. So could you just give me an explanation on that, whether my understanding is correct there?
Yeah, it is actually, so there are some high cost debt which get, so this is the recognized income interest expense from the beginning of the quarter. This is the year end, half year end debt is what you are seeing. There are some high cost NCDs which were there in our books in the early part of this year, 17% NCDs and all. So as they get unwind, we have only 20 crore NCDs left now. So they get redeemed in November. So as they get redeemed, it will go. So this will be the whole impact of reduced interest rate will take a few quarters to flow through, because we have this whole refinancing cost getting absorbed, as well as these high cost old debts moving away, will have the impact will be gradual. So current, you are right in understanding that currently it comes about close to 14.8-15% weighted average cost for the reported period. But currently, SPL Consol will have a weighted average cost of debt of about 13.some%. And including JV, it comes to about 12.5%. So those two numbers are, as we stand at the quarter end or half year end, for that to fully reflect into the average interest outflow, it might take a couple of quarters.
Okay, understood. And in terms of free cash flow number of close to 3 billion that you've given, now, then assume that all the net debt is paid, right, which is close to 375 crores today.
No, 300 crore will be the cash flow from the business. So that will be used either towards repayment of debt, because the, most of our debt, we have no land bank related debt in our books. Therefore, most of the cash flows has to be used either for prepayment of existing debt, which is the construction finance, that we'll have to take a call based on project capital needs, that construction needs at those projects. Otherwise, it will have to be used for growth, or it will be cash and cash equivalent. So the 300 crore is an inflow that we are expecting.
After repayment of debt, right?
After repayment of scheduled debts.
Okay. Understood. Thank you so much.
That's
it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from SG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
So, sir, our ROC and ROE has, you know, always remained low, and, you know, you still feel that it will only be in the range of 12 to 13%. So what kind of steps will lead to the ROC, ROE improving, or will it take like a very big increase in property prices to, you know, really get it there? Or is our model, you know, not suited to a very high ROEs or ROCs?
So I'm sure you've seen the charts on slide 15. So yes. We are probably among the top 2-3 companies in terms of ROC in listed space. I don't know about the ROCs of unlisted players. The ROC delta can happen with because we have a low capital employed, right? We are asset-light model. So a small delta in operational inflows can make a meaningful impact. You may recall 3 years ago we had 4%. So 4 to 10% has happened with a meaningful improvement over 18 months in terms of overall earnings. So I think that with the projected earnings improvement that we see over the next 18-24 months, or FY23 to 25, we would see ROC stabilizing around mid-teens. That would be our first threshold to stabilize. And then we'll see where it will go and stabilize. That 15 itself would put us as one of the better ROC companies in the real estate space in India.
And do you foresee something like a short squeeze, you know, where the inventories in Chennai go down so much that, you know, it actually for some time, for probably 6 months or even 1 year, there's not much inventory, and that leads to a big price increase locally?
I'll request Murali to answer this on the price hike. Chennai, is the price hike likely because the inventory is falling?
Yeah, Chennai market is really good, both Bangalore and Chennai. And we expect the prices to go up. And our projects are well positioned, both Park 63, Divine City, both these two projects. We are selling at a good price. Prices in this project have gone up more than about 20% in the last 12 months' time. So we expect further price increase in these projects. The other two projects, one is a plotted development, again prices have gone up. And third project Shankari, fourth project Shankari, I mean, price has gone up, but not to the level of what the Park 63 and Divine City has achieved. So overall, we expect prices to go up further from whatever level you have reached now.
No, but do you feel that, you know, the inventory is going down is causing a short squeeze on the price, or it's only like, you know, the top developers who are getting the sales? And secondly, what do you feel is, you know, I mean, interest rates hiking, are they causing any demand to slow down?
Two different points on the inventory. Overall, Chennai market is really good, but it cannot be compared with Bangalore and Bombay at this point of time. But Chennai overall market demand looks much better. We are also looking at finalizing some more projects in Chennai. On the overall demand, interest rate on, there are two interest rates. One is home loan rate of interest, other is working capital construction finance interest. So home loan rate of interest, people are reconciled to a long-term position they have taken. So 20-year, 25-year loan, they all know that interest rate is unlikely to stay higher, and it's a temporary phase. Maybe next 12 to 18 months, then it will come down. Then we are taking a view on long term. So customer sentiment is not impacted at this point of time, and it's likely to be very robust. On the construction finance, if the interest rate keeps on going up, that will add to the cost, which is a matter of concern, which we are happily working around. So, but overall demand, I don't see any dip in the demand. Demand continues to be very, very robust.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My first question is regarding your sales realization, the average. So for the second half of FY22, it was about 8%. And for the first half of FY23, it was about 5%. So how do you see it in the second half of the current financial year?
Again, you know, in realization, market, particularly because of the consolidation, see, there is nothing else is moving the market. Just there is a pressure on supply today. There is not much supply because every market is covered, 90% of the market is covered by top 7-8 developers today. And the trust is a major factor which is driving the demand. So on one side, demand continues to be very, very robust. On the other hand, supply, there is a huge constraint only from large branded developers like us. Supply is coming up. So there is a big mismatch between supply and demand. Because of that, prices will continue to go up. So H2 also, I expect the prices to go up at least by another 5% from there. Yeah, today. In H1, we have seen about 8-10% price increase. I have talked about 15% increase likely for this financial year, which will happen, the balance will happen in H2.
So, sir, it will be about 5%, that's what you are expecting for second half, similar to first half?
First half is about 8%, which has already seen now, and H2 we expect 5-8%. So this year, we'll have about 15% price increase is what I estimate. H2 will continue to have price increase further.
And sir, on slide 4, we have this graph of supply versus sales. So it is like after about 2-3 quarters, the supply is exceeding sales. So are you in the top 7 cities? So is it like, how do you see the trend now? Because we are already, you know, 1.5 months into the second half. So is the trend still going wherein supply is now exceeding sales, and then that can lead to inventory buildup in top seven cities?
So inventory buildup has never, just to clarify, this is from Anarock, not our, not my data. Anarock believes supply, pace of supply will match the robustness in demand, and this has been a traditional trend as well. Inventory buildup may happen, but that's inventory has never been a challenge in mid-market affordable products. Inventory usually becomes a big problem in the luxury segment or higher price points. We have never seen, and we don't see on the ground any mid-market player, mid-market product projects suffering with a large inventory. And that's evident also from the fact that historically, we've had a very low inventory in our ongoing project as well. So that's very clear, and I assume the trend will continue even in future.
Yes, sir. And so one thing on the industry. So there was a point wherein the organized player, they are consolidating. Basically, they are getting more market share. So is it that the unorganized player, they are no, they are facing some problems with the hike in interest rate and home loan rates? So is it the reason why there's a consolidation in the industry?
No, there's only brands are selling today, the customer confidence. That's the major one. So the capital availability of capital is another issue the unorganized players are dealing with. So first step is the trust is the major aspect. And the customers are, trusting only the large branded developers on delivery. See, on large trusted, branded developer delivery, some developers, there is a projects getting delivered on time, some there are 2-3 months late, some there are even 6 months late. But customers know 100% it is happening. So, their product is available. Whereas unorganized players, the trust is lost. So, alternatively, the second one is they are also not able to get the funding today. So, both is a double whammy effect. So, that's where they are getting into a lot of challenges. And that will continue. I don't think that will change in the near future.
And sir, lastly, I was just trying to understand if there is any challenges for our sales in future. So since we are such a big player in this industry, established player, do you see any threshold level for interest rate wherein it can affect sales volume in for the industry for the company and the industry? Any threshold level for interest rate if it keeps rising?
The home loan rate, if it touches double digit, that could be a major cause of concern. Currently, it is not. And also, it is unlikely in the next few years on the home loan. On the construction finance, it goes up by another 300 basis points. That could be an inflection point. So currently, it is not. We need to give credit to government keeping the inflation under control, which is a major challenge. But that is good. That is a very good control. Hence, I'm not seeing a bigger challenge today.
Thank you, sir. That's very helpful. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, on the pre-sales part, if I'm not wrong, you said that you'll be delivering around 15.5-16.5 million in the next year. Next 3 years, I mean, sorry. And sir, could you just give me what percentage of that would be plotted development, what percentage of that would be DM? And if you could just repeat the number you said for 2023, 2024, 2025 separately.
Yeah, if I can give you the annual numbers to start with, this year we are looking at about 4.5 million sq ft for FY 2023, rising to about 5.5, and then to 7 million sq ft. So that's about 17 million sq ft roughly. If I look at the plotted development as a percentage of this portfolio, about 30% would be the plotted development.
Okay. Okay. And this 17 million also includes DM, right?
Yeah. It includes everything.
Okay. And plotted development will be 30% and DM would also be roughly about that, right?
Yeah, DM would also be somewhere around that. But obviously, DM can also be plotted, right? These are two different percentages.
Right. Okay. And on the sales part of it, so as in the actual recognition of revenue, so you will be delivering around 10 million, if I'm not wrong, in next 3 years. So this 10 million, does this 10 million include DM or DM is over and above this?
Delivery includes everybody as well. But our income recognition capability comes only on our own projects and JDAs and JVs, of course. And we recognize DM, we recognize, that will help us recognize DM income to some extent, that's all. But otherwise, the majority of income recognition will come from our own project as well as JDAs.
Okay, so this 10 million includes DM, as in 10 million square feet includes DM project delivery as well, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, and on the side of the deal for the Kolkata land, how is it progressing? If people just, by when can we recognize some cash flow coming in from the project? As in which is under our development, with the part we are going to sell it.
As you know that, I mean, Logos is doing the diligence. It's likely to get completed very soon. We hope maybe before March, we should be in a position to have close the transaction at this point of time. They need to get some permission from the government, which they applied for, which is in process now. Once they get their permission, they need to get the ULC clearance for buying the land for themselves. So once that gets through, we can register that. It is in pipeline now.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on good set of numbers. Our company is really testing the patience of allottees who have been holding from IPO. So, by when can something better happen? And number two is about the, basically our real estate sector is suffering from the perception on the corporate governance. It's supposed to be a, what do we call in Hindi, that coal mine se kaale se bachna mushkil hota, in the sense that you have to be very, very cautious in this sector. So what are the corporate governance initiatives we have, because state government control the real estate sector in individual states, and even in South India, lot of issues are there. So how do we tackle that? And Southern India market, our focus is it performing much better than the rest of India? And what about Kolkata, sir? So these are the queries. Thank you.
So if I can take one by one, obviously market is beyond our control. Our focus is on delivering performance as per the promise, and we are trying to market this to the improvement in our performance to quality institutional investors. And obviously beyond promoting or beyond emphasizing on our improved performance to investors, there's very little that we can do in the stock market per se. I'm sure some of you are more equipped and knowledgeable to be able to make a judgment on when this will improve, given the stock price will improve, given the performance that company is showing. So we are currently focused on delivering quality numbers consistent with promises and expectations quarter after quarter. That's currently what we are focused on. In terms of governance, as you would know, we have some of the meaningful, strong names as part of our parentage, Shriram Group Value Systems, the TPGs and Tatas. So we are bundled by quality parentage and their policies and frameworks and systems. So from a governance internally perspective, we can vouch and we can confidently say comparable to the best that you can see in the region or in this part of the world. From an external perspective, there is very little we can do. Both collective, both of us together, we can't do much about the external system. But what we know is very surely is the fact that we don't entertain any cash transactions with any customers ever. We don't get into any of the questionable practices with any of our stakeholders. And that's fundamentally our crux of our operating principles and our value system. And within that, we'll operate. And if we have to grow slow, we'll grow at that pace. But we will not really cut corners to chase growth. That's where, that as a company, as a group, as a controlling shareholders or the large investors in the company, will not allow any deviation from that core principles. I missed your third question. You had a third part of the question.
Yeah, this was regarding the geographical.
Kolkata.
Are these markets much better than the rest of India thanks to the IT sector? And how is Kolkata performing? And what has been the historical background of your foray into Kolkata, which is exactly not very promising in terms of economics and economic growth in India? Yeah.
Okay, let me talk about the Bangalore Chennai. I'm sure you read as many research reports as some of us do. All of these reports clearly point towards whether it is Anarock or any IPC reports or analyst reports. The southern markets typically tend to perform, have typically performed slightly superior than some of their counterparts, even within the seven markets. Thanks to a variety of factors, right? It's a primarily an end-user-driven market, so there is low speculation per se. And obviously the underlying economic activities are strong from the sectors that it's operating in. So that tend to help overall underlying demand. I'm sure the numbers will speak for itself if you look at the last 5-10 years of, or if I last, the post-RERA also, if you look at last 5 years of demand trends, if you look at, you'll appreciate Bangalore and Chennai or Hyderabad are superior markets from a growth perspective, growth absorption, inventory, supply, and growth perspective. Looking at the Kolkata part, which is the fourth question you had, was about the fact that we've discussed that frequently in these calls. Just to reiterate, we entered almost 10 years ago for a variety of reasons. Primarily, we thought when we were looking to expand after first 10 years of our growth in the industry or in the business, Kolkata emerged as a good pick for us for a variety of factors, like it's a stable mid-market. We saw a huge mid-market affordable potential there, being a gateway to the east, as well as Shriram brand already had a very strong presence because of a variety of factors, that a variety of businesses that we had operated based out of Kolkata. Insurance, broking, and a few things other than truck finance. So the brand was recognized, and the third factor was an opportunity of land available from Hindustan Motors and Government of West Bengal. And we thought, since it's coming from the government, it should be easier to get through all the approval processes. So we walked into this transaction. And then we had some surprises, and we took some time to get the approvals. The approvals for the development of integrated complex came only in FY17. And since then, the journey has been fairly smooth. We as a company might not tend to agree with what you've mentioned. Kolkata is not such a bad market. We also would have had the same view 3-4 years ago, saying if somebody had told us that somebody is selling 4 million square foot in 4 years, today the results are on the table. We have about 3.5 million square feet sold since inception in that site. That's almost like 3.5-4 years, so close to 800,000 square feet and annual absorption. So that market is not that bad. It's actually a very promising market. Our expectations of mid-market has come through well. If you look at the IPC reports, some of these well-recognized reports, whether it is Anarock, JLL, CBRE, residential reports, if you look at, Calcutta has, in the last couple of years, have shaped up very strong on absorption. I'm sure those reports explain why they see that kind of demand and they see those kind of absorption. So it's not a very disappointing or a weak market. It's just that we had some our share of surprises in the process. It was a learning for us, mistake or a learning, whatever you want to call it. But now we are focused on, you know, all that is behind us. Last 3-4 years, we are focused on simple, how quickly we can monetize this land bank and get out of it. In fact, today Shriram is the largest volume volume company in the eastern markets. So I think the market is doing well for us so far, and we are focused on unwinding our share of development that we have set for ourselves, 10 million square feet. The remaining 20 odd million square feet will be monetized. That's the strategy that we have remained unchanged for the last 3-4 years, and we'll continue to execute that strategy for the next 24-36 months. By then, this site at least will be unwound.
Yeah. Just to reiterate,
Calcutta is doing and thanks a lot. And just, can you just throw some light on the Shriram Group, the promoter background, and basically how they came out about it? It's a first generation entrepreneur who has come up on his own, because in North, where I'm speaking from, visibility on Shriram Group slightly lesser. Thank you.
So I think there is enough publicly available material available on Shriram. Shriram Group was started by Mr. Tyagarajan in the insurance broking business to start with, and then they have grown, and I'm sure you have read all the newspapers talking about the ongoing merger of all the financial services entity of Shriram. Once the merger is completed, the NCLT approvals have come, I think, day before yesterday. Once this is consummated, the Shriram merged entity will be the largest NBFC, hopefully, in India. So that's the size of the organization built by Mr. Tyagarajan and his strategy and efforts. And they have, Shriram Group has presence in other businesses as well. Maybe you can have a call offline to walk you through what the Shriram Group is all about, and enough material available in public domain as well. I'm just conscious of the fact that there are other people on the call who may be familiar and may not like to invest a lot of time on knowing Shriram Group history. But I'm happy to have a call with you anytime at your convenience.
Thank you, sir. Very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from HG Hawa & Company. Please go ahead. Faisal, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed.
Yeah. So, sir, are we seeing any early signs of now people paying paying up advances at the plinth level itself, and, you know, booking and, you know, paying the entire amounts also, because that will also probably, you know, really accelerate our ROC, etc.?
No, it is not right, actually. As per RERA, you cannot do, we don't want to do that. We will strictly go by RERA, whatever has been defined by RERA and authority. So we will go as per the plan which has been defined. So that has nothing to do with ROC improvement. So that's just a cash flow. So ROC and ROE, we have been making consistent progress. We have given guideline during our roadshow. Then post-roadshow, we have been having pre-IPO. Thereafter, we have been having constant calls. So we have been making consistent progress in line with whatever the guidelines we have given. We are in a very healthy trend today, and I expect this to continue for the next 3 years' time now, based on the projects which are already sold very well. So there is a clear visibility of where the growth is, where are we making progress with respect to the cash flows, and also the returns.
Perhaps further, even if these guys give the accelerated installments, they would want the NPV discount. In fact, it's going to be income depleted.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Shah from Silverlight Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for giving me the chance again. This question that I have is, you know, regarding the earlier question that I had on the cash flow in the NH. where you mentioned that a project has been moved from that slide because that project has been completed. Now, I just want to understand one more thing. The difference in the cash flow is close to 120 crores, for example, in the own developments column. But the cash flow realized has not been that much from your cash flow statement. So why is there this difference? I just want to understand that.
So I'll send you the reconciliation of this data, which is there will be some corporate debt related removals, just like the bonds and CDs as we redeem. Those numbers will also keep changing in terms of the borrowings that is there in classified as a H, right? Last but one row. We'll give you, I'll get the data sent across to you. If you can share your mail ID,
sure.
We'll send it. I think we have the mail ID already. So I'll get it sent across.
Sure. So broadly, you know, this cash flow.
If I can make a broad statement.
Yeah.
I said this last time as well on the valuation perspective. There is no material deviation change from the life cycle cash flows of our projects, and therefore the inherent value of the ongoing projects DM. Some of you may recall, we had a slightly lower than 2,000 crore as an NPV value of a 13.5% discount rate value of our ongoing projects. Those values have not changed. Either would have been the part is realized, part is not realized. So that underlying value has not changed. If that is what the point you are trying to drive at or trying to reconcile in your mind, be assured that numbers have not changed. There is no deterioration in inherent value of our ongoing projects. Project cash flow or the inherent value to the enterprise. I'll send across the details.
Sure. And so are we on target to become net debt free in 12 to 18 months that you were speaking about earlier?
Yeah, we remain focused on it. And as the new projects come in, they might obviously borrow their own working capital as well. But as a net level, net debt, we believe we will be able to reach that point in the 12 to 18 months time.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. There's this one question. When I look at...
your voice is breaking up in between.
Is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Yeah. So your credit rating is still at a double B plus versus sister companies in the group at double A ratings. So that's a big gap in itself, and that obviously hurts your cost of capital, cost of debt as well. And clearly till last year we were loss making, weak financial position, but we've sort of seen that turnaround happen now. So what, if any, sort of plan of action you have to drive your credit rating also, better and to that extent, the cost of debt and cost of capital down.
So just to put the basic facts, we are BBB plus, not BB. And yeah, we moved from BBB to BBB plus last year with some of the concerns of the rating agencies addressed in terms of PE investor rights and IPO overhang and all that. We are working towards with the agencies. We are in the process of reassessment now. They wanted to see 4 quarters of performance before move up. And so we think during this year, second half, at least we should get a rating in the A club. So we would move. We are also working towards moving up the BBB plus that we have today. We hope to see at least an A minus, if not A, during this financial year.
Ask just one sort of follow up. If I may ask, what are the parameters which the rating agencies have sort of set for you to, move in that direction in terms of, you may not be able to sort of share the details, but roughly, in terms of operational or financial parameters, anything that you're able to share would be helpful.
No, it's nothing to do with operational. I'm sure. Just to put it in context, the rating rationale is already available on their own website, so it's fairly transparent. There is nothing secret about it. And their comments were very simple in terms of margin recovery is encouraging. They want to see sustainability of these margins, and they want to see the industry in a rising interest rate environment, how the industry will behave in terms of demand stability. That's a more macro common factor for all the players, not for us. So from a company's perspective, it's basically the cash flows and the sustainable operating margin levels, sustainable profitability and margin levels is what they're monitoring. At least that's what I understand from their rating rationale. So all the company-specific concerns they had in the last 36 months are all disappeared from the rating rationale.
Okay, understood. That's really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much for everyone's time today, and we hope you make note of a good set of numbers that we believe we have announced. And we're happy to remain engaged with some of you, can connect with us as well as SGA. But for today, we sincerely thank each and every one of you for your time taken to interact with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Shriram Properties, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.